further from the word of the Lord in Matthew chapter 16 and in the work Divine Providence. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Amen, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Man has reason and freedom, or rationality and liberty, and these two faculties are from the Lord in man. First, it should be known that all freedom has to do with love, insomuch that love and freedom are one. And as love is the life of man, freedom also is of his life. For every delight that a man has is from his love, and delight cannot come from any other source. And to act from the delight of love is to act from freedom. For man is led by delight as something that is carried along by the current of a river. Now, since there are many kinds of loves, some in harmony and others discordant, it follows that there are likewise many kinds of freedom. But in general, there are three: natural, rational, and spiritual. Natural freedom is what every man has from inheritance. From it, man loves nothing but self and the world. His first love is nothing else. Since all evils exist from these two loves, it follows that to think and will evils is man's natural freedom, and that when he has confirmed evils in himself by reasonings, he does evils from freedom in accordance with his reason. To act this way is from his faculty called liberty, and to confirm the evils is from his faculty called rationality. Rational freedom is from the love of reputation for the sake of honor and gain. The delight of this love is to appear externally as a moral man. Because such a person loves this reputation, he does not defraud, commit adultery, take revenge, or blaspheme. And because he makes his conduct a matter of reason, he also, from freedom according to reason, acts in sincere, chaste, and friendly ways. Indeed, from reason he can speak well of such conduct. But if his rational thinking is merely natural and not at the same time spiritual, this freedom is only external and not internal freedom. For he does not in the least interiorly love such good, but only outwardly for the sake of reputation, as has been said. Spiritual freedom is from the love of eternal life. No one comes into this love and its delight but the man who thinks that evils are sins and consequently does not will them, and at the same time looks to the Lord. As soon as a man does so, he is in this freedom. For no one has the power not to will evils because they are sins, and so to refrain from doing them, except from a more interior or higher freedom, which is from a more interior or higher love. At first, this freedom does not appear to be freedom, and yet it is. And later, it does so appear when the man acts from freedom itself, according to reason itself, in thinking, willing, speaking, and doing what is good and true. This freedom increases as natural freedom decreases and becomes subservient. and it conjoins itself with rational freedom, which it purifies. Everyone may come into this freedom, provided he is willing to think that there is an eternal life, and that the temporary delight and bliss of a life in time are but as a fleeting shadow compared with the never-ending delight and bliss of a life in eternity. A man can think this, if he wishes, because he has rationality and liberty, and because the Lord, from whom these two faculties are derived, continually gives him the ability to do so. Here end our lessons. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen.